Thank you. Be seated.
Court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Doe versus Boys Club.
May it please the court, it's Kip Metzler to present argument from petitioner. Petitioner is reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court. This this is a case far different from the complex one you just talked about. In my opinion, it's a very simple case with two legal issues, but in reality, there's really only one point to be made on this appeal. The two legal issues are, was there a fact question which should have precluded summary judgment on the negligence allegations we've alleged, and was there a fact question that should have prevented summary judgment on the DTPA violations which we've alleged? The recitation of the facts, at least the pertinent facts, I think will illuminate the court on how narrowly drawn the issue really is here. Back in 1986, my client, the grandmother of two of the boys who were molested, went to the Boys Club of Greater Dallas and asked about their program. The Boys Club of Greater Dallas said, "We thoroughly investigate the people your boys will be in contact with. We screen them, we check them out, we provide a wholesome environment." That was false. The undisputed facts are that that was false, that they do no investigation of people like Boyd Ray Mullins, who ended up molesting these boys several hundred times, according to the records, sexually molesting them. In reliance upon the statement and the image created by the Boys Club that this is a wholesome environment and that the people supervising your boys are good, my client enrolled two of her boys as paying members of the Boys Club, who then went there throughout the summer, became familiar with this Boyd Ray Mullins, who, as the record shows, was a convicted criminal who was sent to the Boys Club as part of his sentence, as his judicial sentence for convicted driving while intoxicated a second time. So instead of this being a wholesome environment, this turns out to be something where there's no investigation made of a convicted criminal before he is allowed to supervise these children. It gets worse over the summer. The next event, and really there's only two events that are really pertinent to the legal issue here. The next event was before Boyd Mullins ever had a chance to be alone with the boys. VM Coe, the guardian, went back to the Boys Club and said, "My two young boys now want to go camping with this guy they've met at your facility. Tell me what you know about him."
Wasn't he a regular guest at her house?
Pardon me?
The Court of Appeals says that this man...
He became a family friend, yes.
A regular guest at your client's home.
Yes, that is correct, Your
Honor. Was there any indication at all that the many visits that he made at her house that he was a pedophile?
No.
Was there any indication at all from any source to alert the wife that this man was a pedophile?
I do not believe so. Unless...
The Boys Club.
That's right. The only thing is that, so specifically for Boyd Mullins, no. There's no notice.
Or Mrs. Coe either.
Right. But
so you're saying that if they had investigated then, of course the Boys Club knew that he was had been convicted of driving while intoxicated. They knew that.
Sure.
But if they had made an additional investigation, didn't you just tell Judge Indolf that there's nothing they could have found out?
Well, if they would have, that's what I said as far as what my client could tell. But if anybody had gone and just asked neighbors, or even asked him, "Why can't we check your references?" See, this man on his application said, "Don't call at work, don't check my references."
Would they have found out he was a pedophile?
Oh, absolutely. That's in the record, yes, sir.
And who did you identify as a potential witness or
presumptive
witness?
The neighbors, one of whom was propositioned by Boyd Mullins. What you're doing...
What's the neighbor's name?
I don't know. It's in the record.
Did you present an affidavit in...
I presented an
opposition to the motion for summary judgment with an affidavit from that neighbor?
Yes, I did. But, Your Honor, what y'all are doing is exactly what the Court of Appeals did. You're saying, well, let's go back and find out what could have been found out if the Boys Club had investigated.
Counsel, let me ask you a question. Did the Boys Club investigate the backgrounds of its regular employees?
Absolutely.
Did the Boys Club investigate the backgrounds of regular volunteers?
Absolutely.
And how
did the Boys Club investigate the background of this probationer who was doing community service as a part of his probation?
Not at all.
Thank you.
They
talked to the clear in the record, undisputed.
If I go try to volunteer with the Boys Club, they're going to talk to my neighbors.
No, I don't believe that they are. They're going to check your references, which they didn't do here. They're going to screen you. And the executive officer who was deposed, Mr. Ralph Pale, said the reason we do that is because we know that this is going to happen. It's an emerging problem that we deal with at these boys' clubs, is that people are going to volunteer to work at the boys' club so they can have access to young, impressionable boys and have the cloak of authority of a boys' club. That's clear in the record.
And Mr. Owens told the boys' club, don't check my references?
He said that right on his application, yes, sir. But it doesn't matter because they weren't going to anyway. Because, see, these guys are only kept there for 90 days. It's not worth it to them, the boys' club, to investigate someone who's only going to be there 90 days. A private volunteer is different.
These guys that are assigned by a court of criminal jurisdiction to community service, that's what you're making reference to, right?
Yes, sir.
And as a part of that program, the clearinghouse, the screening group for the county government makes some sort of assessment about their qualifications to do community service. Is that correct? I mean,
not really.
If a judge sitting on the bench says you're going to have to do community service, there is no screening as to whether or not this person being sentenced creates a danger to the community if he's going to give community service.
I think it's inherent in the judge's imposition of community service that he thinks it's accepted that this guy's not a danger and that it's okay to put him in the community.
Okay.
And then as he walks out of the courtroom with this 90-day rule that he has to go do community service, he's given the card of a volunteer center, which is literally across the hall at the courthouse. And he goes over there, and he's given, and this is all in the record, he's given an application and a list where he can choose if he wants to go pick up garbage or if he wants to go to the boys' club and have access to young boys. And he chose the boys' club.
And the boys' club is aware that when the judge assigns a person to community service, and the person goes through the volunteer center and fills out the list, the boys' club is aware that the judge is not concerned about whether he's a pedophile. Isn't concerned about whether he's a danger to children. The judge isn't concerned about whether he's a danger to the community on particular deals. They're aware of that.
They're aware only that he came through the restitution system. They testified in the record. They didn't even know what he'd been convicted of.
Okay. What is the volunteer center supposed to do? In terms of matching people. Do they make any investigations?
No. They match them, Your Honor. That's really all that they do.
The Boys Club think they made any investigations?
I think they did. I think that they did. And I think that's exactly what happened here. But the problem is, the Boys Club, when they're asked by the mother, what do you do about these? Are these good people my boys will be with? They didn't say, well, you really ought to know he's been convicted and he's come through the volunteer center, and we don't do any investigation, ma'am, because these guys are only going to be here 9 days. We don't know anything.
They're not told at all that this is someone on probation?
Not at all. You mean my clients?
Yeah.
No. They were told that the man is thoroughly investigated and this is a wholesome environment.
And they were just a volunteer?
There was no distinction ever made that he's restitution or volunteer. It's because they didn't talk about Boyd on the first meeting. My client just went in and said, is this a good place? And they said, yeah, we thoroughly investigate. Boyd came up later when the client said, tell me everything about this man, and that's in the record, before I let my boys go camping with him. And at that point, they said, well, we haven't had any problems with him, when in fact they knew he had been convicted of DWI.
In your brief, you say, the fact that Boys Club permitted this 37-year-old single male to voluntarily stay at the Boys Club without pay for a year after his court-imposed sentence ended is what permitted Mullins to befriend AC and RM Co. in the first place. The Boys Club became the vehicle for Mullins to gain the trust and friendship of the boys. The respondent's brief says, Boyd testified that he did not do any further volunteer service at Boys Club after the completion of his required hours.
There.
Is that a conflict?
That's a disputed fact issue.
These are exact conflict. Now, let's...
That is a disputed fact issue, Your Honor. Let me get the name straight. It's in the record. I get mixed up when I use alias names, but C.J. Doe. What he testified, he didn't even join the Boys Club until a year after the first two boys did. And he said that the first time he was at the Boys Club, Boyd Mullins was behind the desk looking like an authority figure, basically. So that's the dispute. We say Boyd was there a year later behind the desk, and it's undisputed the court sentence required him to have only been there 90 days, which would have been exactly one day before my clients joined. So if they would have got him out of there like they were supposed to, as the judge ordered them to, limit it to 90 days, they would have had one day to meet Boyd Mullins. Chances are they wouldn't have, they certainly wouldn't have had a year of this sponsorship from the Boys Club, which led to the camping and another member joining.
The judge ordered him to get out in 90 days?
That's the sentence said you have to do your complete your community service in 90 days.
Well, but someone can volunteer. He could have volunteered from then on.
That's absolutely.
And you say he did.
I say he did.
And even though after the 90 days he was still there, he was not an employee. He was just still a volunteer.
He was literally hanging around the Boys Club.
But he was in a position of authority.
He was supervising boys playing pool. He was, yes, he was there as a 37-year-old man in the presence of 14-year-old boys, and he's behind the desk. He certainly conveys the impression that he's part of the Boys Club.
Were any of the boys molested either at the Boys Club or on Boys Club sponsored trips?
Never. There's only one time, in fact, that he was permitted to leave the Boys Club my clients were able to leave the Boys Club with Mullins and come back only one time. But again, what you're focusing on, I respectfully submit, what you're focusing on is, okay, so they didn't screen him. What would they have found out if they did screen him? That's what you're focusing on.
Don't we have to worry about some evidence of proximate cause? I mean, that's one of our functions here.
That is absolutely one of your functions. And I'm contending there's more than one act which we claim was a producing cause. It's more than simply, well, they should have investigated. Yes, they certainly should have. I think, the Court of Appeals said as a matter of law they were negligent for not investigating. We get on to the proximate cause. Is it foreseeable that this would have happened? And is it something where, but for the negligence and the misrepresentations, this wouldn't have happened? The but for, the cause and fact. What I contend the Court of Appeals overlooked is the fact that we've all heard the expression, first impressions are the last. The first impression that was given of these people at the Boys Club, people like Boyd Mullins, was he's thoroughly investigated, he's a good character, this is a great place to be, it's a wholesome environment. That's the first impression they ever got of Boyd Mullins. If it had instead been, well, we've got these guys who are convicted and we really don't even know what they're convicted of, but you kind of have to leave it to yourself to decide, the first impression would have been, well, we better watch this guy. We better not let him go anywhere without him. We better, this is like a bar.
Is there any connection or nexus between being convicted of DWI 10 years before the event and then close contemporaneous to the event, connection with pedophile?
I don't see it. I honestly do not see it, Your Honor. I have to just concede that I don't. But what I do see is a boys' club that exposes children to people, men, without investigating them, should not be allowed to say, we thoroughly investigate him, and he's okay. They should not be allowed to say that. There should be some requirement that they at least tell the truth before my clients are exposed to these people like this. Because there is nothing. They didn't even interview the guy, and they admitted in the record it would have been better to screen the restitution workers. But frankly, they're only going to be there 90 days. Why bother?
But Councilman, I understand you said a minute ago that none of the acts of abuse took place at the Boys Club or during a Boys Club function.
That's right.
They were all at other times.
Right.
During the times that he had taken advantage of the young boys because he was a, quote, family friend.
Well, he was a family friend who became a family friend only because they met him at the Boys Club.
That's the point I think that you're making, is that because the Boys Club introduced him to the family, and then later on abuses took place other places, then that the Boys Club are liable because they introduced him.
They gave him the stamp of approval.
How many restitution workers, does the record reflect how many restitution workers were at the Boys Club at any one time?
It was
what kind of onerous burden are you talking about?
There are, the record reflects between 5% and 8% of the overall man hours put in at this Boys Club is restitution workers. And I asked the executive director, I said, well, do you need this? No, we don't need it, because it's such a small percentage. And if they do need it, they certainly could have them over here typing envelopes or something instead of out there mingling with the boys, if they do need to use those workers, which they don't, or mopping floors.
Any other questions? I'm going to be capsulized as well as I can. You're obviously arguing that they gained access to the boys and entry into their homes and their family circle because of the Boys Club contact, because of their recommendation, because of their reassurances, and but for that, you know, you wouldn't have had access to the boys in the first place.
That's right.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ken.
John Robinson for that argument for response.
May it please the court. John Robinson from Dallas, Texas, law firm Patterson, Lamberty, Stanford, and Wall. There is no getting around the horrendous and reprehensible conduct of Boyd Ray Mullins and what he did to these children. But there's also no getting around the fact that the substantial factor in bringing about the injury that the petitioners are complaining of is the sole conduct of Boyd Ray Mullins. All of the damages, all of the injuries, all of the harm that the petitioners have suffered came at the hands of Boyd Ray Mullins.
How did he come into contact with these children?
Came into contact with these children when they joined the Boys Club. Boyd Ray Mullins was there as a volunteer.
Was inquiry made, as the opposing counsel argues, that about his background? Did the children's grandmother indeed say, what do you know about this guy? The kids want to go camping with him?
On two occasions. The first occasion, Mrs. Coe simply asked a question of the Boys Club before anybody had joined. She was told by an unidentified and unknown individual.
But you don't dispute she was told that?
No, Your Honor. But the individual remains unidentified. But what the person told her was that they were thoroughly checked out. The word investigated was not used.
Are permanent personnel and regular volunteers at the Boys Club thoroughly checked out? Are they investigated?
Mr. Pahel and Ms. Allen testified that they references are checked and their backgrounds are examined. Mrs. Allen also testified that the volunteer center that referred Boyd Ray Mullins over to the Boys Club did in fact screen the volunteers, check their backgrounds, and make some inquiry into Boyd Ray Mullins before placing them with the Boys Club.
This person works for the Boys Club or for the volunteer center?
Carol Allen is the Boys Club's employee. That was her testimony as to what the volunteer center does before the volunteers are placed at the Boys Club.
Was anyone from the volunteer center said they did that?
The volunteer center records are part of the appellate record, and they indicate that there is a review process, but there's been no deposition testimony of anybody from the volunteer center.
Well, I'm having a difficult time rationalizing why would the Boys Club, knowing that pedophiles constantly are seeking to infiltrate organizations like the Boys Club, so they have access to young boys, why would the Boys Club exercise any less discretion or caution or control over probationers who are there performing public service, even temporarily, no matter what the offense, and regular employees and volunteers? Why would they seek less reassurance on someone who's there on a court order for having encountered the justice system? than they would an ordinary person?
Because the volunteer center takes care of that responsibility. And rightly or wrongly, the Boys Club relies on the volunteer center's review and background check of the probationers before they come over.
If this man has undergone an investigation similar to what the Boys Club conducts on employees and other volunteers, would they have or could they have discovered from interviews of previous employers, current employers, or whatever they do in their investigations of ordinary people, that he had pedophilia in his background?
A reasonable investigation would not have demonstrated that. A review of his criminal record would have revealed only that he had two prior DWIs, which petitioners admit place no one on notice that a person has a predilection for pedophilia. The investigation that petitioners referred to was a house-to-house canvassing of the neighborhood that took place over a period of 3 to 4 days. And I would submit that that is not reasonable under the circumstances. Mr. Mullins told the Boys Club not to contact his employer because he worked for the sheriff's office. And having been on probation for DWI, it is reasonable to assume he didn't want the sheriff's office to know that. The other occasion...
He didn't want the sheriff's office to know he's on probation for DWI? Why in the world would he think the sheriff's office wouldn't already know that?
Well, the reason as to why Broderick Mullins would not want his employer contacted when his employer being the sheriff's office is not in the record, Your Honor, and I'm making a deduction from the evidence.
The Court of Appeals said that your client was negligent, but that negligence was simply not a proximate cause or producing cause, depending on these two calls.
Yes, sir.
On any damages. Is that the argument you're making to us, or are you saying no negligence?
Your Honor, I'm focusing in on the proximate cause issues. There's no question that you may be critical of the Boys Clubs, as the Court of Appeals was, in not thoroughly screening its employees. We believe it is reasonable for the Boys Club to have relied upon the volunteer center not to place anyone at the Boys Club who had been convicted of indecency with a child or aggravated sexual abuse of a child. We believe it was reasonable for them to rely upon the volunteer center.
Does the volunteer center place other volunteers besides probationers?
It's my understanding the volunteer center is a clearinghouse for individuals who have been sentenced to do community service by the criminal courts.
Only probationers, not other volunteers.
That's my understanding, Your Honor.
And what type of investigation does the Boys Club do of someone that they're going to hire?
Background references are checked if there are references placed on the application and prior employers may be contacted.
Employers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But as the court has already noted, none of the acts of harm, none of the acts of molestation occurred at any Boys Club event, at any Boys Club function.
Is that really relevant if the person is in the lives of these boys because of the Boys Club to begin with?
It is, Your Honor, because as the Court of Appeal ruled in the city of...
Go back to the original question I asked you. You said that twice this woman was given assurances that this person was okay.
The second time that she contacted the Boys Club, she spoke with Carol Allen. Carol Allen told her, Mrs. Coe recalled, that they had never seen Mr. Mullins do anything wrong. They seemed okay. He worked for the sheriff's office, and they had had no complaints, all of which was entirely true. Mrs. Allen recalls telling her, when she asked about the camping trip, that it wasn't her job to recommend or not to recommend whether or not she should let her boys go camping with Boyd Ray Mullins, that it was her choice, and that she specifically could not vouch for his character. The Boys Club did not give this man the stamp of approval, but in fact went out of their way to stay out of it.
What did the grandmother say that she was told?
The grandmother said she was told that the Boys Club said that they had never seen Mr. Mullins do anything wrong, that he seemed okay, that he worked for the Sheriff's Department, and that they had no complaints, which was entirely true. There's no question, Your Honor, getting back to your point.
Did she confirm what you say the Boys Club representative said they told her? Did she confirm that they disavowed any accountability for it?
What I have told you is what Mrs. Skull recalls the telephone conversation contained.
But the, what does Mrs. Coe is the...
She's the grandmother, the managing conservator of two of the petitioners.
It's not, it doesn't confirm what the Boys Club representative said that they told her. Is that correct?
It's, the recollections are not exactly the same with the conversation yet.
From Mrs. Coe's perspective, she got reassurance. From their perspective, she got warned.
Well, from Mrs. Coe's perspective, it's important to note that she doesn't say that they that she received an endorsement that yes, it's okay, the Boys Club thinks it's fine for this guy to go camping with your kids.
Well, I don't know if there are any magic words involved here. It has a lot to do with the tone and substance of what you say.
There's no question that Mr. Mullins used his volunteer stint at the Boys Club as an opportunity to get to know these kids. He ingratiated himself to the family. He made himself a part of the Coe family. He went to their weddings. He went to their funerals. One of the petitioners testified that he had been over to the house and spent the night 10 times in a row, 10 weekends in a row during the summer of 1986. There's no question that Mr. Mullins, being the con artist, confidence man that he was, ingratiated himself into this family. But it's important to note that his volunteerism with the Boys Club merely provided the occasion by which the injury occurred. The case is analogous to a case heard by the Court of Appeals, City of Bishop versus South Texas Electric Cooperative, in which the defendants in that case, the cooperative, were in fact negligent in starting a fire. The City of Bishop dispatched a fire engine, and in the process of trying to put out the fire engine needed to be moved backwards from the fire, but it malfunctioned mechanically and therefore couldn't, and therefore burned up and was damaged. So they sued the South Texas Electric Cooperative, saying, well, it's because of your negligence starting the fire. Well, the Court of Appeals found that that was not a substantial factor. That was not cause in fact. The cause in fact was the mechanical failure of the truck. Here, the cause in fact is Boyd Ray Mullins. The substantial factor is Boyd Ray Mullins, not...
If a background check, reasonable, that's the word you've used twice now, if the background check, reasonable background check, would have revealed that Boyd Mullins had proclivity for liking young boys that was perverse, would the plaintiffs in this case have a viable cause of action against Boys Club for having failed to have conducted this reasonable background check, thus exposing their children to this gentleman, regardless of whether the assault occurred on the premises or off?
If a reasonable background check would have revealed that Boyd Ray Mullins was a pedophile, then I believe they could have a cause of action against the jury on that issue.
Now, it seems to me there's two issues here. One is the argument on the first representation about the background check. It seems to me that the Boys Club's position is that a reasonable background check would not have revealed this problem. The second issue is the second call where I'm going to let my kids over whom I'm in charge to go camping, and I relied on your statement that you thought this guy was all right, and you all are arguing. These are the statements she admits, Mrs. Coe. These are the statements she says, our representative said, and those were all true. Consequently, there is no misrepresentation upon which a cause of action can be based. All those statements are true. That's the position on the second statement. Going back to the first statement, you measure your words by saying reasonable background checks. Mr. Petroff says, had they checked with the neighbors, they would have found out about a particular improper sexual proposition, I guess. Well, you said proposition, I'm assuming of sexual nature, would have been found. How does this court make a determination of what is a reasonable background check by an agency which is designed to put children together with adults in a wholesome atmosphere? Why do we determine what is a reasonable background check? Or is there? I mean, is there a duty to do a background check at all for an agency whose sole responsibility is to put children in contact with adults in a wholesome environment?
The court can look at the summary judgment evidence that indicates what the background check was, what the length that the fishermen went to. As I stated before, it was a 3 or 4 day house-to-house canvas of the neighborhood, which is not reasonable under the circumstances to expect the Boys Club to do that length and breadth of an investigation.
Why do you say that is? I mean, assuming that may be unreasonable, how do we determine what is reasonable? As a matter of law, this is summary judgment. How do we determine what's reasonable?
Well, as a matter of law, even if you determine what's reasonable by looking at the causation factors about cause and fact and foreseeability, if you look at the fact that Boyd Ray Mullen gave no indication, either through his own conduct or through his criminal record, that he had a predilection for pedophilia, there were no restrictions from the criminal court that said don't place this man with any type of minors or children, coupled with the fact that none of the acts of molestation were witnessed by anyone at the Boys Club, did not occur on the Boys Club premises. The Boys Club had not received any complaints from a child or a parent or anyone about Boyd Ray Mullins. You can look at what's reasonable and what's reasonably foreseeable. I mean, the courts have held that where reasonable minds cannot differ, negligence and proximate cause become matters of law. And cause in fact and foreseeability as the two prongs of proximate cause. I mean, clearly it isn't foreseeable that a man who has two DWIs is going to be a pedophile. It isn't reasonable to, talking with Boyd Ray Mullins himself testified, that he didn't give the Boys Club or anyone any indication that he was a pedophile. Even if the Boys Club had contacted his employer, the summary judgment evidence, there is none that they would have learned anything about his predilection for pedophilia.
If they had contacted the sheriff's office, the sheriff's office wouldn't have been able to tell him that he was
There is no summary judgment evidence that the sheriff's office knew anything at all about Boyd Ray Mullins' pedophilia. I think it can be reasonably assumed that they didn't know anything about it.
Well, couldn't you also reasonably assume that the sheriff's office would do some background check on somebody that would go to work in the sheriff's office?
I think that would be a good assumption. There's no way that a person of ordinary intelligence could have reasonably anticipated that Boyd Ray Mullins would do what he did.
Even in the context of an organization like the Boys Club, which by its own statement is constantly bombarded by people trying to infiltrate to do exactly what he did.
Well, I don't know that the constantly bombard is the phraseology. Mr. Pahel testified that there was an emerging problem of homosexuals and pedophiles.
Constantly bombarded may not have been the exact words, but it was a constant and continuing problem.
And when that concern is placed squarely with Boyd Ray Mullins,
what would be reasonable under these circumstances? What is a reasonable, to echo Judge Enid's question, under these circumstances, considering the trust that's vested in them for caring and safeguarding the welfare of these children, and the fact that they are constantly having to defend themselves against these infiltration efforts, what kind of background investigation is reasonable, whether for a full-time employee, a regular volunteer, and particularly someone who is there by virtue of the fact that they've encountered the criminal justice system?
I am unaware of any.
A bell would go off, or, anybody. In other words, they don't investigate at all.
I don't believe there are any cases that I have seen that identify and define what a reasonable background investigation would be.
looking at the facts in this case, I believe it is reasonable for the Boys Club to rely upon the volunteer center that acts as the clearinghouse that places individuals at the Boys Club.
What does the center do? Is there any evidence in the summary judgment record on what the volunteer center does by way of investigation of these people?
I recall in the summary judgment record, Your Honor, that Carol Allen testified
to what
they do. Is she a
Boys Club employee or a center employee?
She is a Boys Club employee, Your Honor.
She has personal knowledge of the investigation?
She testified that what they do is they screen employees.
Based on her personal knowledge?
It's my understanding that was her deposition testimony. They perform background checks, they screen the volunteers, and that she assumed they would not place anyone at Boys Club that would not be appropriate under the circumstances. But even if the criminal record of Boyd Ray Mullins had been known, there would have been no indication, and he gave no indication, that he had a predilection for pedophilia. There is no cause in fact, and there simply is no foreseeability. There is no proximate cause of what happened to these petitioners as a result of a con man who used his opportunity with the Boys Club to get to know some children, and then later, months after his volunteer stint was completely over, took them on camping trips, took them out to the lake, and molested them there on his own.
On that score, we can back up. Now, this is months after his mandatory probationary public service 90-day stint with the Boys Club was over. But did he continue as a volunteer with the Boys Club after that period of time?
He did not continue as a volunteer. He did appear at the Boys Club. He did pick up the petitioners and drop them off after his volunteer stint was over. I believe there is testimony from one of the petitioners that he was inside the Boys Club at one point playing pool. So he did put in an appearance at the Boys Club after his volunteer stint was over. On all of the occasions in which these boys were molested, these were Boyd Ray Mullins' organized, planned, and sponsored events.
Any other questions? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Mr. Fedorov, you contend that but for the Boys Club's failure to do an investigation, they would not have been exposed, these boys would not have been exposed to Mr. Mullins. Could you detail specifically what sort of investigation the Boys Club should have done?
Okay. On page 8 of my brief, we had talked earlier, you asked me for the name of the neighbor. Page 8 of the brief says where the locations in the transcript are of what investigation they did. The next door neighbor of Boyd Mullins is one of the people who said that if you'd have asked me, I'd have said, and this is on page 8, I believe he was dangerous and had a propensity for young boys. And had seen him up at the candy store buying candy for young boys, had seen boys at the house.
What else should they have done?
They certainly should have interviewed the man.
Interviewed Mr. Mullins?
Interviewed Mr. Mullins, like they do any other volunteer. If you or I try to go work there, they're going to interview us. I think it's a good question to say, why do you want to work here with strangers? What's your motivation, sir?
He would have said, because I have a young interest in boys.
He may have. I mean, I don't know what he would have said, but you do have a duty to ask. The Court of Appeals certainly thought there was a duty to ask, especially when you're telling the parents, we do ask, and we thoroughly investigate these people.
What else should the investigation consist of?
Why can't we contact your employer, Mr. Mullins?
The Sheriff's Office.
You know what? There's no record that he worked at the Sheriff's Office. That's his testimony on the resume or the application.
Mr. Mullins?
Yes, sir. I don't think he did work there. One of my clients has...
There's nothing in the record at all about his employment at the Sheriff's Office?
No. Well, his statement says, I work at the Sheriff's Office, but don't call them. One of my clients has a hat that he gave that says District Attorney. I think he said he worked at the District Attorney, not the Sheriff's Office. But there certainly is no file from the Sheriff's Office, no personnel file that anyone's ever gotten. And while we're on the subject of what the record does or does not show about investigation, the Volunteer Center application is in the record. I believe it's page 106 in the transcript. But the application is definitely there. And the written deposition of the Volunteer Center is there, and they will tell you in there what investigation they do, and they say we're a clearinghouse.
Counsel,
I believe, though, that
from the record that there was a long relationship after the period of 90 days, a rather long period of time where he was involved with these young boys, even spending the night.
Many times.
At their home many times. Well, what finally happened to cause someone to have a question about him in the family?
Floyd molested another friend who said, I'm not up for this, and went to his dad. The dad called the sheriff. The sheriff went over to my client's house, and, you know, that's where it started. What he did was used another one of the plaintiffs who isn't on appeal here, but one of the non-paying members of the Boys Club went on a camping trip with Boyd. They got drunk together. He tried to have sex with him, and he said, I ain't for this. And he went home and told his dad. Otherwise, it may still be going on because the boys all testified he said he'd kill us if we told anyone. So they were literally captured in their own home with this pedophile who literally says goodnight, Mom and Dad, and goes in the boys' room and has sex with them right there in their house. They were terrified to say anything. That was after. The camping trip is what started it. And by the way, he did use alcohol to get the boys to have sex the first time. So conceivably, there's a connection between the DWI.
Well,
I did want to just throw that
focusing out on that just a moment. Did he, when he went on the camping trip, he was the driver of the vehicle?
Absolutely. The boys were all minors, yes.
And the guardians or conservators never knew that he had been convicted for DWI?
Absolutely not. And they said in the record, in deposition and affidavit, if we'd have known, we'd have never let him go driving even.
There was a statement made about Mr. Mullins attended your client's funerals, family members' weddings, spent 10 weekends in their household. Is that true?
Yes. These boys, like many boys who go to the boys' club, they don't even live with their parents. They're living with their grandparents. Their grandparents, obviously, are two generations older. Boyd fits right in at the dad role. This was made to order for Boyd Mullins. He got the cloak of authority from the boys' club that says, don't worry, we thoroughly investigate these folks. He got into this underprivileged home, children who don't even have a dad at home. Sure, my clients, the grandparents, who are both working, admittedly, maybe should have been more careful, but boy, they sure would have been if they'd have said, we don't know a darn thing about Boyd except he's been convicted of DWI. Check him out yourself. Instead, it was just the opposite.
Any other questions? Mr. Petroff, I have one last question. I ask you to detail for me what investigation should have been performed, and but for the failure to perform that investigation, this would not have occurred. You listed interview with a neighbor, interviewing Mr. Mullins himself, interviewing his employer, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to complete the list. Is there any additional investigation they should have performed?
I think, frankly, it wouldn't hurt to say, do you mind if we do a criminal background check? I think that you ought to ask the person. Just, sure, maybe he's not going to say, but look him in the eye and say, why do you want to do this? And why are you sticking around a year after you're free? You're free to go. You don't have to be here. Why are you doing
this? Does that complete the list?
I think so.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Court will take another brief recess.